This is Tuesday, April the 3rd, 2007. We're with Fred and Laura Hicks. John Colling is here, and we'll ask each person to say something so the transcriber can identify who is doing the speaking.
Yeah, this is John Colling.
I'm Fred Hicks.
Laura Hicks.
Okay. We've been going through some of the pictures they brought over, trying to identify them. Yerkes Lake, Fred said, is the lake over in Highland Lakes. Is the natural lake, I think it's called. It's called Spring. It's got some other name, I can't remember. We'll check it on the map. The Hall, Roll of Honor, that was shown in one of the books, was located on the southwest corner of Main and Center, and it was facing Main Street. And right now, we're struggling with the interurban bridge. And Fred started to tell us how the interurban tracks went along the road, and that's where we're going to pick it up from there. Go ahead.
As I remember the interurban at Phoenix, it went across on a trestle below the dam, as the road did too. So I don't agree with this, really. I wondered if it might have been where Norfolk Road goes through now, but that would be the only other possibility.
It's a railroad overpass on Northville Road.
Yeah, and that it resembles that to a certain extent. And the old road, the old Northville Road, didn't go there because of the hill. That came later. But I don't know whether they used that overpass for the road then or not. It wouldn't be wide enough, I wouldn't think. I don't know. There's buildings in the background, and they don't look like Phoenix either.
Does it look at all like that? That might be Northville?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
There was a pond there.
See, this is what gets me. The railroad's still there. Well, this is a big high hill to the right.
Right.
And that's still there. Mm-hmm. And there was a house on it. Mm-hmm. And the 5 mile road didn't come down like it does now. It came down to where the road went, but the road went up over the hill.
All right.
And over the railroad track. Then I thought maybe this later when they did, but it doesn't look like the right terrain. It does not. And yet it says Phoenix. Now, it's possible it was before the pond was there, but the land is still doesn't look just right.
Hey, we've got some pictures there.
Now, because of the lack of high ground over here is what throws me. We know they didn't move the railroad track. Now, is there any history on when the dam was put in at Phoenix?
That goes way back. We have pictures of the, there was a granary mill in Phoenix.
Before the
then there was a rather, I say decrepit looking bridge. It was made for horse and buggy. Mm-hmm. It wasn't made for cars.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the mill burned back early 1900s, and the bridge was obviously replaced, but there's evidence. In fact, we even have pictures of the thing showing the lake there.
Have you looked at any of the books in Plymouth? Plymouth has an old book of pictures, and it shows, I think, construction of Northville Plymouth Road, some of them.
Okay.
Remember the one I looked at it in the dentist office?
Okay. Actually, we discovered Northville Road in that part. It used to be called Plymouth Road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we always called it Northville Plymouth Road.
Okay.
The DUR had a gravel pit just east of the Grizzled Road Bridge. And it used to, the track came down and went into it, but it didn't go across the railroad. It went before we got to the railroad. My uncle used to be a motorman on a work car, and whenever we happened to see him in a pit, my dad would drive down and we'd talk to him. His name was...
Is there any possibility, Junior, of that being that?
No. There was no bridge there, no. It went down into the pit before you... Down quite a steep grade and a curve, and all east of the railroad track.
Because actually,
but didn't it go then uptown?
Yeah, but it went out to Griswold.
Oh, did it?
Well, sure.
I can't remember that. I remember the corner down there, and I remember the.
Well, the track actually ended up right on Main and Center, didn't it?
Yeah, at the crossroads.
It was the end of the line.
And then the other line went south. and to Plymouth.
It went out over the, there was a trestle.
Yeah, there was a trestle down at the corner where the car wash is now.
Okay.
The road made about a 45-degree bend there, and this was all pond out here where the road goes now. And but the streetcar went on it. It went on a trestle out there and then went on south.
Okay. So the streetcar track went down Northfield Plymouth Road to all, it actually went down into Plymouth at that point for the
right on through Plymouth.
Okay.
I rode it when I was little. From Northfield to Plymouth was my mother. And it went out, I think, out Main Street south. In fact, it went clear to Wayne and
down to Wayne.
On to Detroit.
Well, then it went to Michigan Avenue, I think.
Yeah.
And then from Michigan Avenue, it went west to Jackson. It went north to Mount Clemens. And it went up Van Dyke to, I think, as far as Imlay City, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, the overpass remains. It looks like the one on Doheny. But
yes, it does. It really does.
The track doesn't
fit. That kind of bothers me.
Of course, that bridge today, if it were down there at Phoenix, would have been demolished anyhow because it wouldn't be wide enough to get that thing through but a train.
No.
When they made it a passenger car, they might have rebuilt the railroad bridge. And maybe going to Plymouth, we can find out. Then the railroad bridge
there,
built,
there was no farm. There was no farm buildings on the other side of the railroad track either.
Okay.
There was a swamp over there,
okay,
where the city lot is.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big bog, all filled in with trash from Northville. Shot many rats down there, I tell you. And I carried my share of junk home too.
Yes, I remember we used to go dumping us. But all kinds of treasures.
It's a big joke in our family because my sister-in-law says my brother went to get rid of junk, but he always brought stuff home.
he didn't need to go on to tape it. I was in Florida with a guy who was noted for going dumping, and we found a shipwreck sitting on the shore, and the boat was all built with brass carriage bolts. The two of us are gone after work one night, stripping this bolt. Our coat pockets are hanging to our knees. They're so full of brass carriage bolts. The other thing. And so it's a good thing we got it, because the next day the city loaded it up in the truck and hauled it off. Part of it, we talked to you before, but the ski jump. So I printed some aerial pictures. Here's the racetrack. There's Hines. 7 miles. So my understanding, the ski jump was in this area.
This is the old stream, I think.
The stream comes up under
this. This is the city sewage disposal, or not?
Yeah, well, this is a fairly modern photograph.
Oh.
You see, they're saying they're St. Lawrence, so this is a
Okay, that's, right.
So, that's where the highest hill point of Brazil.
Well, it would be at about this point.
Okay.
And it went down, and it went down onto the flat by the creek.
Okay.
And but back then the creek was, they changed it.
Yeah, they rerouted the creek.
Yeah, rerouted the creek down here to meet the north section and go that way. But I think originally it came right around pretty much.
Well, we can find some old maps that might show it.
In fact, they probably had a hard time stopping. I can show you, if you go down there, you can find the old opening where they hit the ground, in other words, off the end of the jump.
Okay, that was looking over here. I need to go around further.
Yeah, around here further.
Okay.
It went down almost straight to the east.
Okay.
Off that hill.
That's a little different spot than where I thought it was.
Yeah. And the thing of it is, it's all grown up now with trees. And we was talking about this picture we had of the flats, the old car.
Yeah.
You get down here and you can't even see there anymore.
No.
But it would have had to have been taken probably from this angle, now that I think about it.
Was Alton's house there? That must
this
have been there.
Alton's is beyond this. I think the log cabin's still there.
They didn't live in the log cabin, though, did they?
Who are you talking
Chuck
about?
Did.
Chuck?
Chuck lived in the log cabin,
what I mean.
But his folks lived in a big old house that faced Main Street, Main Street now, Northville Plymouth Road.
Oh, I don't
didn't
know.
Didn't they?
I don't know whether
sure they
did.
Yeah, just for the record, to show that Fred is pointing out the spot for the ski jump is not at the intersection of Hines and 7 miles. Actually, further south on Hines Drive, probably 400 or 500 feet further south. So as he said to jump when he came off, you're headed pretty much dead east, and looks like it comes out where the baseball fields are down there today.
Yeah, it's probably just about in this area right here.
Okay. Yeah. I'll put a little mark there for now. I gotta get this reprinted. Get rid of
it. I could go with you and show it, point it out to you.
Okay. Yeah.
In fact, I've been on that hill not too long ago, looking for morel. So. East of there, south of there.
The last time we talked, you also mentioned there were two slaughterhouses in the area.
That's right.
Okay. Well, I brought some more maps.
And one of them went right in here. And I don't know what it looked like. I only know that the old bridge was still there when I used to swim in the creek.
Okay, well, I
and
is that the one that went down?
And the slaughterhouse, as far as I was concerned, was hearsay, you know.
So it's basically in the St. Lawrence area.
Yeah.
What, right. what about the one that was over on...
7 Mile?
Yeah, on Gerald.
Yeah. So
there's a map of... There's 7 Mile here, mm-hmm. the railroad, and there's Gerald. This is the city of the DPW yard. That for a while was a car store. This was taken when Donald Ford was still alive. That was a car store.
Is that the little machine shop?
That's a Mason Pro on the corner. And this across there is a Willy Bully's or whatever.
Yeah. But this little building right
there. It's now a landscaping company.
Yeah.
A decrepit one.
There was a machine shop in there.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Just east of that was where the slaughterhouse was.
Oh, it was actually on 7 Mile.
Further east on 7 Mile.
Okay. All right. That's good.
I don't know who ran that, because I can tell you, when I went there with my dad to dig worms, and it had long been ceased to be, you know, and we dug in the old oak pile for angle worms.
Yeah. I bet it's a good worm spot if you stand the smell.
two forks full, and we had all we wanted.
But I think when we talked before, you said you were born in the house where Emily's.
Yes.
Okay, I brought a copy of that. So I have like satellite maps these days. You can get all kinds of stuff.
Yes, aren't they wonderful?
But I don't know if I brought you one of your house where you have a satellite map or not.
Well, that'd be the house right there then.
Yeah,
that's your house, because there's rumors that it's going to be torn down. So
yes, I've heard that.
It looks like shopping center market's going to expand. That's what I'm slowly learning around town.
Wait a minute here.
It's Walnut, the computer repair place.
Yeah, but, oh, this...
That's
this
the parking lot for Emily's.
That's for Emily's, yeah. I was going to say, don't show the wall, really, does it?
Yeah, the wall, a lot of it's back in here.
I didn't realize they had that much parking.
I didn't either, because I never went in the restaurant.
No, I never went there either.
It wasn't the place that served the kind of food I wanted.
It didn't fit my wallet.
Yeah, well, it's a couple of you didn't fit, so...
Yeah.
But, okay.
And I moved from there to... Let's see, is it on here? Maybe not.
No, they don't have everything there. I blew it up.
There's Grace Street.
There's Grace.
I moved to the house at West Falls where I then. The ex-cop.
Okay.
His
some of those have been torn down
of
there.
Yeah, well, that house is still there.
Okay.
That one hasn't been updated yet. It's upgraded to a giant house.
And I think that's one of a friend of my son's. My son lives there, and he... been doing a bunch of work on the inside of the house. That's the one. And he's about three houses off of Lake Street.
Which house does he live? That's your son?
He's over on Carpenter.
Well, he's on Carpenter.
He put a second floor in his house. In fact, I found it on the internet today. He said, I know when the photo was taken. He said, why? Because there's a dumpster next door to the house. So he's under construction. He got it about two-thirds built and had a fire and had to start over again.
What house is he in on Carpenter?
There was about four houses of lights that were built in the 20s that had like about a 5-foot front yard around the west side of Carpenter.
Uh-huh.
And his house and the one next door, they put a second story on it. And there was one original house left, number three.
That one must have been along there where Krieger lived and Likes.
I was trying to think of the woman who lived next door to him. Her husband's involved in the city fire department for years. I'm blanking the name at the moment.
Hartner.
I said Myrna was next door to him.
Yeah, Hartner.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were built in early time. Herman Krieger, who used to be grade the streets in North Hill with a little horse-drawn grader at one time, lived in one of them for a long time when I was young.
Alec lived in one.
And then Conroy's lived in one. Later
Torx lived down there.
But I don't think Torx was in one of those houses, though.
I think they did it one time.
I bet. An old Miller from Yerkes lived in one, not one of those, but further up to the north, Jay Goodall. You run across the Yerkes Mill?
Yeah. Well, we got this map from Asher's. Shows the time there was 13 gas stations in Northville.
Yeah.
I read that in the
So it turned out to... He met his son and got a copy of the map, and he was able to identify a lot of them, but there's a couple mystery ones in there that we haven't had a chance to talk to Bill. We talked to Rick. And
Sunoco was the one that Richmond ran.
That's one we wanted to know, because the Sunoco on 7 Mile, that's about close to the fish hatchery.
Dick Richmond you're talking about?
Yeah, isn't that on...
What about Blacks?
Yeah, I was thinking of a different one. Blacks had that one.
Well, there's also another one about, he said it was four doors north on Rogers from where the Citgo station is today. The building is still there.
Was that Warner's?
That could have been Earl Warner, yeah. He built the original one out there.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And this one you think was Black?
Not Black.
Jim Black.
Was that the boy or was that the father? Or were they both Jims?
I think the father was Jim.
Yeah, Black, B-L-A-C-K.
Okay.
And
that was related to the people, the descendants who owned the hardware store then? That same family?
No.
Different Black family?
Yeah, different family. Yeah, okay. Different family. Older family. Let's see. There used to be Blacks had, before that house was built next there, or did they live in that house where
they lived in the stone house across, sort of stone across the road, big old house across from Nelson's, from John and Irene Nelson.
Okay. I was trying to think if they had the pond though that had the crest in it, didn't the water crest?
That was Lawrence.
Was that Lawrence?
Lawrence's.
Okay.
But I don't know about what they might have been related to Lawrence's.
They could.
I'm not sure.
I think it's according to Bill Asher that these 13 gas stations, they finally made a pact among the gas stations that they wouldn't open on Sunday. They said he's the one that broke the pact. Because it was in his contract with the oil company, he had to be open on Sunday. See, he was the one that broke it.
Texaco was up by Horton, Hutton Street. And Standard was over where the coffee place is. Shell was run by two brothers, or one brother, actually, Mulgimer. Did you have it? What have you got, a vine? Is that...
The building today is called Vine to Vine. It's a great place to make wine.
Oh.
That's the current name of the building. It's across the side street from what was Clark is now Marathon, I think it is. Just Clark has been renamed. It's just dead across the street. It looks like a gas station.
Yeah, well, that was was operated by a man by the name of Mulgimer.
Okay. Years and years ago.
Yeah.
How do you spell Mulgimer?
M-O-S-H-I-M-E-R.
Okay. Because the transcriptionist will be saying, what?
it was an old friend of my father's. My father worked with their father in carpenter work.
Because this mobile station is where Northrop sits today. That exists today.
Yeah.
One of these was tied to Blackburn Chevrolet. Then a guy by the name of Michael Green built a gas station right on the corner of 7 Mile and Northfield Road and had various names before he sold out. So we have a picture of his station. You can see Blackburn Chevrolet in the background. The picture. But she's the brother of Jean Beamish. I don't know if you know her or not. She was on 7 Mile.
Blackburn Chevrolet was on the west side?
Yeah, west side, just south of 7 Mile.
What happened to the original name?
Where?
The building that McDonald had for used trucks, or for trucks.
It was the Blackburn Chevrolet, then become part of the printing plant for the Northville Record.
Right.
After that.
Yeah, but
before Blackburn, I don't know. It's before my time.
You don't mean Blackburn, you mean Rathburn. Okay.
Rathburn, that's it. Okay. Rathburn, you're right.
That's what was still throwing me off.
Was that where Richmond was?
No, it was Rathburn.
Rathburn.
He built the building. I think.
Well, yes, I think that building he built.
Rathburn was originally uptown. Let's see, we got one uptown.
The Dodge dealer where LaSalle Bank is today. Then Cal's Golf, and also sold cars, and that's where Garden View is.
Miller's ran that Dodge service.
Yeah. There was a Sunoco station that George Gardner and Gary Deal had on. They had one pump.
Yeah.
And they had a garage. And that's where Rathburn originally sold cars.
Okay.
And Gary Deal and George Gardner.
His Fleet Wing is the pizza cutter.
Yeah. But that was originally Standard, I think.
Was it?
Okay. Yeah, at one time.
Well, they probably changed names. He started off as a High Speed, then a Pure, and he's had a
Yeah, they've all
a whole barrel full of names.
Then there was a gas station, we just mentioned it, just south of where the soldier sign is, memorial sign, was a Sinclair.
Okay.
Did you have a Sinclair station?
Yeah, he sold Sinclair once. In fact, I thought Sinclair was out of business until we went out west a year ago, and they're big out in Wyoming. I thought they were out of business.
Yeah, well, we had a Sinclair station, too.
I was surprised to find them.
And a fellow by the name of Hartman owned it from Novi. And he delivered bulk, too.
God, I wish I could think of it. It bothers me after I can't think of somebody's first name.
You'll think of it.
Yeah, it'll come to me. He was a nice man.
Okay, another subject.
Okay.
Black's White House. That's sat on the corner of Dunlap and Center Street.
The old parsonage.
Now, the Black, is that the Black that had the gas station, or
no.
Is this the Black that went to the hardware store? Or
that's
Black?
That's part of the Black. This Black's son went to the hardware store.
Okay.
They were not his sons.
No, though. They were.
They
no.
were. Stages.
They were her sons.
Okay.
They went with the name of Black, though.
They took his name.
They had five boys.
We've already asked Laura what happened to the house, and we're going to ask you, what happened to that house?
Oh, they burned it down after we got married in it. No.
Well, that make us history for the church thing.
We were married then.
Were you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 65 years ago. Okay. It was still there then. Seemed to me they put a porch on it, though, didn't they?
There was a side porch on Center Street.
Oh, okay.
The general consensus is it was demolished.
This is the part that faced Main Street.
Yeah. Center Street.
Center Street, yeah. And this was a vacant lot.
Started off as a parsonage, ended up with a restaurant.
Dr. Schuyler next.
Huh?
Dr. Schuyler next.
Then Dr. Schuyler, yeah.
Okay. So, leave poor John out of this conversation.
Well, he's listening.
He's at a disadvantage. So we had some preliminaries beforehand. So
I think they tore it down, but I can't remember.
That's because what we've got, because we had a few that said it moved over to his neighborhood, but it isn't, because if we're going to check.
Where's his neighborhood?
Well, John lives near Franklin Cemetery, off of Franklin or Waterford Cemetery.
That's the old parsonage on the corner of Dunlap and
that's the one that was
Wing
moved.
Was the one that was moved.
Peltier's owned that one. It's back to the cemetery. Yeah, I guess both doors closed, and Oliver said this ended up at 5 Mile. I know where the house is at 5 Mile because friends of ours had it moved. It came from Schoolcraft.
Yeah,
and that was originated from.
That was Esch's.
5 Mile and Radnor?
Yeah.
That came from Schoolcraft?
Yeah, it came from Schoolcraft.
Esch's house.
But
the one on Franklin turns to hit right on the corner there. That one was moved from the town.
Yeah.
And right around down on 5 Mile and Radnor, the one in the northwest corner had been moved to that location.
Yeah, that one came from down on
And they make you think. They make you think of one another. I think they're different, but when you just thinking about it, you could get mixed up.
Power kicking in.
The S's had a farm on the corner of Haggerty and 7. They took the jog out of it. It must have been a correction line 7 Mile because it used to jog.
Well, to back up some of the history, that I know you were born in Northville, and you were born where, Laura?
Salem.
Salem.
On the corner of Brookville and Godfredson Road.
Okay.
In the old house.
There's a cemetery there.
Next to the cemetery.
Okay. Yeah, because I was out to a house on Brookville recently. A man wanted to donate some old farm equipment to the township in the house. I'm not sure what he's going to do with it, but said they buried some of the walls and found that the paper behind the lath was talked about the Civil War. And it's probably only 3/4 of a mile west of Salem Road.
Wasn't that area called Brookville years ago?
I don't know. See, I was
born
there.
I think that's where the name came from.
Actually,
I've always been trying to locate exactly where the village was. But
yeah.
Actually, that was the Salem designation at one time.
That
because before Rhodes, the Salem post office was at Brookville and Godfredson Road, originally. I saw an old atlas. I think Jerry's got it.
Jerry wants to come over. Too bad we didn't have Jerry come.
Jerry would come. And I don't know where.
She's going to bring some old pictures.
And then when the railroad came through, it moved the town up there because that corner isn't on the railroad. So that the center of town, you might say, shifted whatever there was there. I don't know what there was there in the way of buildings other than it was a post office. But years ago, people ran post offices out of their homes.
Right.
I think there was a school across the road, I'm not sure.
I've read of references to a town called Brookville, which the Brookville Road was named after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can't locate it. So.
Let's see, that would, Brookville goes over to Pontiac Trail and ends, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You might as well go to Salem and start.
It ends up there on somewhere out on.
If the post office was right in there, that probably would have been the community.
Yeah.
You know,
it might have had an early name.
I know when the railroad went through, that area was no longer
viable.
As they moved it north.
Yeah.
But so I was. Since you were born right there, I thought you might know. It was before your time. It would be in 1800.
Evidently, there was a center there long enough to establish a cemetery.
Yeah.
There were quite a few houses out there, I think. We used to go there when I was
a little
kid.
Later, the Salem Cemetery was down there.
There's quite a few houses there today. Probably a lot of them been torn down, rebuilt, or
modern houses. Right. There were some old houses out there.
That house on Salem Road, right in the corner there, which was a Centennial farm, but I guess they sold it.
Yeah.
That's been there a long time.
Yeah.
But right just east of that, they've built some new ones.
We used to visit out there when I was a little kid.
You're talking about this north-southeast corner?
Yeah.
Of 5 Mile and Salem?
No, Salem and Brookville.
Yeah. Oh, Salem and Brookville.
Yeah, there's an old farmhouse still sitting there.
Yeah.
It had a designation Centennial Farm, which means it was in the same family for over 100 years, but I noticed they took that down, so I assume it's because they must have sold it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, there's an old barn there that's got a sign that some guy's trying to restore this barn by himself, and I'd say it's good luck.
They're
you know, back to Northville. I just because you said you were from there, I thought I might clear something up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm interested in the whole area.
I don't know. I don't ever remember that from my parents.
And you moved to Northville when?
When I was three, well, probably about 2 1/2. My mother and dad lived in a farmhouse that my grandfather owned, which was on the corner of Valencia and 7 Mile Road.
Okay.
The old house there. And we lived there for about 6 months. And then they moved to the house on Wing Street. And
whereabouts on Wing?
Now it's the one that was just remodeled,
on the
about
west side.
The third house on the northwest side of the road.
Okay.
It's the second house from the post office.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, anyway. Yeah.
Right. Seven Mile, I understand, was one of the earlier paved roads. Was it paved when you grew up there?
Yes, it was one of the earlier
only
paved roads.
What, as far as Beck Road?
No, Napier.
Oh, yeah, right, Napier Road.
Six Mile wasn't paved for quite a while after 7 Mile was.
Of course, I was only three when we left there. Mm-hmm. And
So you went to Wing Street and lived there for?
Until we owned the house until after my father died.
Okay.
And I grew up there, lived there off and on all during the war. I lived there, and we moved here in, about 50.
Are you familiar with Lyon Township at all?
Lyon Township, yeah.
I'm going to ask you a question. A long time ago, on the corner of 8 Mile and Pontiac Trail, to the south and west, there was a woodlot. And I don't know what occasioned me to investigate the woodlot. There was no building around there then.
There was a cemetery in there.
Yeah, there's a cemetery.
Yeah.
Has it ever been opened or kept up at all?
Well, it's privately owned, as a lot of the cemeteries around here were and still are. And they don't encourage people from going back there to see. If you want to go back there, you can go check the nearest house. But if they find you back there, they're not real
not
thrilled
too
about
happy,
it.
Yeah.
But it's there. I have not been there.
Well,
I understand that it's kept up pretty well.
There's an organization that investigates all these old cemeteries. Mm-hmm. A couple of women, I think, heads it. But I read an article by one. They never mentioned that place. They mentioned a lot of places.
It's not well known.
No, it's not well known.
After I retired the first time, I went back to work as a reporter for the South Lyon Herald.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the other reporters did a story on that cemetery. So I wasn't involved directly in it, but I knew she was working on it, and she ran a story in the paper on it.
To me, it looked ancient. I mean, a lot of the graves only marked with just field stones, on the corners, you know. And most of them were sunken, you know, with boxes, collapsed wooden boxes probably.
But if you go...
And no headstones. Yeah.
If you go through a lot of the old cemeteries around here, and there are a lot of them, a practice early on was to use part of your property for a burial ground for your family.
Oh, yeah. There was family cemeteries.
So there are family cemeteries.
That's Yerkes Cemetery down here.
And you can find them in a lot of places that are fairly overgrown. In some cases, people will clear out the main underbrush, but in some cases... We're getting astray here. That's something I'm interested in. Okay. I go into old cemeteries and I look around.
Well, I do too. I know there's quite a few old ones.
Hey, Fred, you were born in what is now or last known as Emily's, and where did you move to from that point? How long did you stay there?
I moved down to Gray Street. Moved a block away when I was 3 years old. And
you guys, I'm about 3 years old moving.
And we were there until I was about six. And my father bought a plot of ground here, down here on Horton, second lot, where the big house is now. And he was a carpenter, and he wanted a workshop and stuff. He was finished carpenter, and he built boats and different things. And old wooden rowboats, of course. The Depression came along and it was turned into living quarters. And he lived there until his demise. And my mother lived there until she came to live with us. And so I went to school primarily from there and to high school. And then I went in service. So that, and this is as far away as I've got from that place so far.
What did you do for a living?
When I came back out of service? Well, early before I went in service, I used to be, I was 3 years in a hardware, Neil's Northville Hardware on the corner where the record office is now.
Okay.
And we had all three floors and an old hand-operated elevator in it. And I learned quite a bit about business. He was a good businessman, Neil wasn't. And then I was drafted in 41. And discharged in 45, September. And then I went to work at the Wallway Company, which was owned by William B. Walker and a man by the name of Hemingway. So they used the wall and the way and called it Wallway. It was a stamping plant down on 8 Mile Road. Building's still there. The other side of Evergreen, when there wasn't anything else around except wild country. That was in 46, February 46, I started there. I worked there 18 years. And they had done well during the war because every profit was guaranteed, of course, from the government. But after that, they didn't do so well. They started to decline. And we took cuts in wages. It wasn't a union shop. We took cuts in wages. And finally, they phased out our pension benefits. And I decided to look for something different. So I came, and I kind of voiced around that I was looking for a job. I thought maybe I might get in a school system. I was a good mechanic and maintenance man. That's what I did down there. And I noised it around, and I thought I might go to school craft as a maintenance employee, you know. And finally one day, Elmer Balco came up and he said, would you be interested in a road carrier's job at the post office? And I had to think about it because it was about a $2,000 difference in what I was making and what the pay. But finally I thought, well, I'll go and take the exam anyway, and then I'll have taken a civil service exam and know how stupid I am. So I had a veteran's preference, of course, and I went downtown and took the exam. And there was another fellow who had a double preference. He was a disabled veteran. And there was about eight of us went, I guess, all together and took the exam. Well, when I came back, I was second on the list, so I forgot about the job. And about 2 weeks before the job was to start, Elmer, who was assistant postmaster, came up and said, you still want that job at the post office? And I said, I thought about it a long time. I thought, it's a pretty big step, but I think it's the right step to take. So I said, yeah, I'll have to tell them this morning because it's 2 weeks, 2 weeks notice. It started on the 15th of March, if I remember right. I went in and told them I was done in 2 weeks, and that was it. I went to work at the post office. And I carried mail for 19 years. And one day, going out 6 Mile Road, I was rolling along the old gravel road on 6 Mile, and a guy run the stop sign at Ridge Road with a pickup truck and hit me broadside. And my car was old, and of course it wasn't repairable anyway, but I decided to hang it up then, so I retired when I was 62.
Hello.
I didn't go to the post office until I was 46.
Yeah.
So.
What was your delivery route?
Hold on a minute, you're going to give it to me?
62 miles. As I used to put it, it went halfway to Farmington and halfway to Ann Arbor. And that's where it did. I went out, Novi Road's 9 Mile Road, then went 9 Mile Road all the way down to Newburgh.
Okay.
And there was a big subdivision there off Newburgh. I did that. Of course, I did all the customers along the way, too. And then came back up 8 Mile to Hagerty. I had some on Hagerty. Hagerty across 6 Mile. 6 Mile to... How far are they going, 6 Mile? I have to think about it. I shouldn't. Many times as I did it, so that... Well, anyway, I ended up working over to, I went by Beck. Oh, I went down Napier to 6 miles, to 5 miles off of 6. And I went from there all the way to Pontiac Trail. Brownie's sign shop used to be on the corner of 5 mile and Pontiac Trail. And then I went a mile north and came in 6 mile, and I got some of the side streets, Angling Road. Oh, I got Curtis Road too, all out there. Chubb Road, some of that. Back in 6 mile road, all the way to Sheldon, and picked up the subdivision then off from Sheldon and back home. It was 62 miles, and I had, I don't know how many stops then. I must have had around 500 stops.
And the weather was bad, that made for a long day.
Oh, there were some days I didn't make it.
Yeah.
One time I got as far as the old Gibson farm there on the corner of 6 mile, and we had a southwest wind, and the windshield was about 70 below, I think. Oh, it was terrible. I got right in front of their house, and I couldn't get to the box. I got stuck. And it was so cold, and I got out and started shoveling. I always carried a shovel so I could get back out, you know. And pretty soon I began to breathe hard, coughing, you know. I began to feel it in my lungs. And so I went to the house and knocked on the door, and the girls came, and I went in. Until I'd recovered a little bit, and I went out and shoveled a little more, and I got out, and I went back to the post office, and I said, Elmer, if you got any walking carriers out, you better be checking on them, because that wind chill was fierce. And sure enough, he brought some in, and their legs were white on the front, you know, walking into that wind. Yeah.
And I said, you have quite a reputation for being an outdoorsman, hunter, gatherer.
Yep. There it is. This is part of it. There's probably 6 inches of fish scales around here someplace, too.
Well, and
I know one of your neighbors relies on you for advice on how to do things. Don McCulloch.
Oh, Don?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. He can give me a lot of advice, Don.
Now, you mentioned veterans' preference. You were in the service?
Yes.
Which branch?
8th Air Force.
Air Force?
Uh-huh. Ground uh-huh. personnel.
Where did you serve?
Thankfully.
You didn't fly.
No,
you
didn't. Where? Well, when I was inducted into Aberdeen, Maryland, which is the arsenal, you might say. It's all ammunition and stuff like that, you know, and ordnance material. And after I went to school there as a clerk, that was misdirected. My passion was firearm. But anyway, I went to Boise, Idaho from there to an airfield just outside of Boise called Gowan Field back then. It's Boise Air Force Base now. Well, no, they've moved it. It's south of their mountain home now. It wasn't big enough when the planes got bigger. It's still called Gowan Field, I guess. Anyway, we had a few medium bombers, 130 caliber machine gun on them. And we didn't have any bombs, and of course it was peacetime up until December the 7th. And then everybody went crazy. In the meantime, we did get some planes in, which was interesting because they flew much faster than the old B-18s. They were B-26s, and they landed at about 110 miles an hour. And those pilots were great at taking them off, but they weren't very good at landing. They weren't used to that landing speed.
Thank you. How did you make all
that? Oh, crazy. And after Pearl Harbor, we got a bunch of bombs in.
That's great.
5 bombs. And we had no arsenal. So they put them out on the desert, which was U.S. government range, at that time. They put them in gullies. I suppose they figured that was hiding them, Well,
that's good.
In the fall, fall and winter, we got a lot of big rains. And we buried the bombs. We had to dig them out. I've got some pictures of me standing guard out there in a raincoat and a riot gun. And then when we come to get them with the trucks in the mud, the trucks got stuck because that mud, that when it gets wet, it's just like soft soap. And it had great big chunks of lava rock in it.
Okay.
And they'd roll up under the underside of the room. Solid, and you couldn't get them out with a cap. I don't know how long it was before he got all the bombs out of the mud. And of course, everybody was crazy about the Japs were just around the corner. And it was guard duty, and it was all winter was cold, you know. And then, let's see, you'd been out by then, had you? Let's see, no, we weren't married yet, don't worry. Well, then that spring, I got on a detail down in Alexandria, Louisiana, near Camp Livingston. It was an airfield. It was Esler Field. And they had those new planes called